Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And we're at the end of July. It's the 27th.
I was just commenting how we were just at the end of June. I know that sounds stupid, but it seems like things are speeding up again.
Maybe.
We were in slow motion for so long with this, you know, the lockdowns, and then it just, bam, end of July. So I had an interesting weekend. I was up in Montauk.
Yes, you went fishing.
Yeah, did you see that? No. Did I send you the picture?
No, you never did.
I thought I texted it to you.
I didn't get it.
Well.
You texted it to what?
I don't know, the one I always text it to.
Huh. Well, maybe you did. I didn't see it.
Anyway, went to see some friends. I was there as a young kid. We went every single year with my folks. They had a boat.
Did you say Montauk?
Montauk, Long Island, yes. The tip of Long Island. Next stop, England. And went out to Montauk to spend some time with some friends. As a child, we went up there, and as a child's a dream. I think he wanted to own a house there, so he bought a house there. And I hooked up a fishing day. We had an amazing time. We had a we went at 5 a.m., got to the boat at 4:45, stepped on the boat, 4:46, we're out. Went out to an area called Block Island and started fishing for striped bass at the crack of dawn. And got 6, which is the limit. And then went fishing for black sea bass and got 24 of those, which is our limit, and threw back like 30. It was like the old days of fishing. You know,
sounds like it.
Yeah, when you put something in the water and you catch a fish. Here in Florida, I can fish all day hours hard fishing and come up with 2, 1. Very frustrating.
Well, it's different.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of news out of China where it's bad what's going on there. They're cutting down stocks left and right, regulatory combine.
Yeah, I think this has got to be a good thing.
For what reason? For who?
To clean out the laggards, the dubious companies, Get their act together so they have like a clean market instead of this kind of sketchy market. You put some money in some company, and next thing you know, you lose it all and you don't know why. And turns out the company was just a warehouse. I mean, this is just a guess. They're trying to get their act together.
I mean, it may be they are under different regulatory requirements in terms of audits and books and all of that. And I don't know. It seems to me that there is a substantial amount of risk in them. When you see that they come in and not only just simply, hey, we're going to clean up. This company has got a problem. That company's got a problem. We're going to clean the books. When they come in and they say, hey, you know what? We're going to shut down the for-profit education. We're going to tell Didi, we don't like that. Maybe you've been tracking some of the higher ups in government, where they've been. And we're going to pull your apps where they tell Tencent that WeChat's going to be pulled. I mean, there's a different level. It's a company-based attack rather than a stock attack. They're going after the companies rather than what's going on financially with the companies. Now, maybe a lot of companies, they're going to say next to, hey, you know, we're going to come after you next unless you, pay this advanced fine.
Could be.
Yeah, something's not right with the
whole thing. Could be just a giant scam to get money.
Something's not right. I mean, some of these stocks have been cut down by 80%, 60%. In the last couple of weeks. Really bad. Well, good news, bad news. Things were good for a while. Now the bad news, COVID is back, it seems. The CDC today is recommending masks for vaccinated people indoors, in hotspots.
Yeah, hotspots. Like that means Florida.
Florida seems to be a hotspot. I think it's 40% of all of the COVID, quote-unquote, cases are now from Texas, Missouri, and Florida.
Yeah, any place where there's too many Republicans.
Yes, it's a red state in so many ways, right? That they paint the map. They paint the map green and red, which is
they can't figure out how to go after South Dakota. She's like a problem too.
Oh, they'll get there. They did that with the they did that originally. That was the original ones where they went after her for when Sturgis happened, right?
Yeah, yeah, right. Sturgis. They tried to go after her for Sturgis, and then that fell flat.
Well, there was some discussion about how, I think he talked about this on New Agenda, but I heard this otherwise, about how in France, they said, you know, if you don't have a vaccine, you can't go to the cafes, you can't go to the movie theaters, you can't go to the various places. And immediately, like a million people signed up for the vaccine.
Yeah.
Now, you know, just to be clear, I'm in favor of the vaccine, if it can get us out of this whole thing, assuming that it is legit and it's not harmful. But I also am in favor to a degree of personal choice. It's kind of I'm have a little bit of a internal debate about this.
So I discussed this on the No Agenda show, but I'm going to bring it up again since you're kind of talking about this for some reason. I looked at the 1918 pandemic numbers and how they came and went and came and went. They had to, we're following the exact same pattern. And the bad news is, the good news is that there's not, you know, the beginning of this epidemic was bad. A lot of people, and then, you know, whether they're phonied up or not, even if they're half as many as they said, it's still a lot. The next year, 1990, they had another problem. This didn't end until April, May of 1920, which means April, May of 2022.
April, May of, oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. If you overlay the Spanish flu epidemic over what we've been going through, April, May, 2022. Yeah, so you might as well just get used to this nonsense.
Well, the question is going to be is whether or not this is going to hold back the economy in some way or another, where people are going to say, you know what, I'm not going, or the vaccine, not the vaccine, but the mask mandate. Oh, either I'm scared or I'm not willing to deal with it. Or, you know, now we have also mandatory vaccines for certain workers in California. I believe in New York, federal government workers are going to be mandated to. I don't know what's going to happen if they don't take it. So if there's a mandate for the vaccine for a government worker in California, right? And that government worker does whatever they do. If they decide not to take the vaccine, are they fired?
Yeah.
Oh. 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 That's not good.
No. I don't know what's going to happen with the people who, I mean, there are people that can get by without the vaccine because whatever it is they do, it's like, you're either independent or they're, who knows? But if you're working for a big agency or something and they mandate it, which is probably borderline illegal because it's not really approved vaccines, but okay, let's assume they can do it. Yeah, you just get fired.
Wow. Well, there is going to be some whiplash and backlash. Now, I did happen to speak to a friend who is very much involved in the vaccine development. Well, I shouldn't say development, the manufacturing of the vaccine. I mean, to say that he's high up in a company. I spent some time with him recently. And we talked a little bit about what's going on. He talked about the difficulty in getting the vaccines out to other countries around the world due to the manufacturing process. The inability also to get approvals for certain things and how they're having the most difficult time you could imagine trying to get the vaccines elsewhere. So until the rest of the world is done with this, we're not going to be done with this either, right? Would you agree with that?
I'm just telling you, it's going to be March, April, 28, whatever happens. These things play out. I think epidemiological studies will indicate that these whatever you think you're doing is academic. Mm. And what's going to happen happens.
Yep. Well, let's talk about some other things here. We have the earnings week. This week is the biggest week of earnings for S&P 500 companies. About 40% of the companies in the S&P 500 are reporting. And tonight we saw Microsoft and we saw Google. And yesterday was Tesla. And Apple was tonight. So there's a lot of back and forth movement. And we'll talk about those as well. Markets are going to all-time highs and then seeing a moment of dropping and then buyers step in really fast. I mean, simple. Just, you know, buy the dip. It looks like the markets continue to want to find those dips, even how narrow or shallow they are, to try to find some footing there to get in. But there's a lot of money still coming in, regardless of the action. Now, the one thing that's interesting is that many of the earnings announcements that have come out have actually taken stocks down, even if the earnings were good.
Yes, there was a couple today that were like anomalies nobody can explain.
Right. UPS came out down 7%. Numbers look really good. Outlook really good. Of course, Jim Cramer got the CEO on the show and said, you know, you could have said things a little bit differently to make it sound better, and people would have bought the stock. I'm thinking, what is he doing? Is he all about just trying to pump it?
Yeah, well, that's what he does.
Yeah. So what happened was...
I don't know what he was thinking.
Well, yeah. So what's happening is that right now, I think what's going on is it's all about peak earnings. The idea that you have a company like a Microsoft that's ridiculous numbers that came in out, 60% over last year of same quarter, which was, of course, a slower quarter, but still substantial increase in overall bookings, a little bit of a light number on some of the Windows numbers and some of the...
Yeah, they're making inroads with the Azure.
Yeah.
Product that seems to be what's getting the attention, although the stock went down a little bit. I think
it went down after hours, down about 3%, but then it popped up to the neutral zone.
Okay.
As the conference call went on. And then finally, in the kind of quick and questionable, did you see that red sun in the sky last Friday night?
Not here.
So I was out in Montauk, I think it was Friday, and it was just, I don't even, blood red. It was unbelievable.
From our smoke?
Yep, I think so. That's what I understand.
Yeah, good.
Good. Thank you, California.
That's actually, most of that smoke really came from Oregon.
Oh. So kind of on the market side of things, it's interesting that the emerging markets have really dropped down 13% off of their highs. A lot of that is due to the fact that you have China makes up 30-ish percent of the overall, and there Hong Kong was down 4% overnight, and these China stocks that were cut in half, spreading beyond Didi and Ant Financial and these other names that we've come accustomed to. But again, with the, it's not just, hey, we're going to look into you. It's that, hey, we're going to stop your apps from being in the available for downloads, or cut them off entirely. That's pretty substantial. I mean, can you imagine the U.S. government looks into Netflix and not just giving them a fine, but says, you know what? We're cutting your feeds. That's pretty.
Yeah, that would be something.
So that's kind of what's been going on right now. And then the for-profit education saying they can't teach to certain levels. So now all of a sudden the for-profit has become a nonprofit. Whether they're going to put them out of business or not, or whether they're going to do a quick-footed move around to different grades and then different subject matter is kind of what's happening with those. And we saw that several companies in that TAL education, EDU, a new New Oriental Education, I believe it's called, a few others got really hammered the last few days. I think they've done a bit too much to the downside. I'm thinking about putting one of those on the game for a just speculative play. It's down to like $2.50 from a lot higher. So down 80%. A little bounce possibly there.
Yeah, that sounds like a dead cat.
Mm-hmm. China stocks saw, in the U.S. listed China stocks, the Alibabas, the ones we just talked about, TeleEducation and EDU and a few others, saw the biggest slump in the last couple of weeks since 2008. Now, one of the things that bothers me about all this is that on top of just this, on top of just the regulatory issues that are happening in China, I remember this distinctly like it was yesterday. Back in 2008, the stocks that came out and the markets that came out of the slump first was China. China was very quick to react, and they really did a good job at pushing funds through their economy, lowering their rates, changing the RRR, the reserve requirements for banks, and doing a lot of work to really prop up markets. Who knows if they were buying in themselves as well? I don't know. But they were the first out of the gate. They came out, did really well, and then kind of slowly rolled over a bit as the U.S. was like 3 or 4 months behind. and followed the same exact curve. China, in this circumstance, because they got their situation under control by exporting all of their sick people to the United States, right? Initially.
And Italy.
Right, okay. Their economy really was on fire for some time. Their economy really was substantially impacted for all the good things, just like it was first out of the gate in 2008, 2009. And now it's starting to roll over. Their economy is slowing down a bit. Their numbers are not as good. Exports are starting to they had some good numbers, but yet there's some questionable numbers in there. And I'm wondering if there's a pattern here that we should be paying attention to.
This sounds like a dynamite pattern to pay attention to.
So if that's the case, I would say that in a couple of months or into the next couple of months, we have to start worrying about our economy just pulling back from this extraordinary recovery. And markets now ahead of themselves. And it's possible that is what that's what investors are sniffing out.
Mm.
You know, sniffing out peak earnings at this point.
Yeah, peak earnings.
So if that's the case, that's the reason why some of these stocks are rolling over on their decent earnings.
Yeah. Could be.
Yep. We have a big meeting tomorrow. The Fed is meeting on Wednesday. Again, it's like every day with the Fed. I'm so sick of the Fed. I've been sick of the Fed for 15 years, but I'm really sick of the Fed. They have a rate decision. The FOMC rate decision tomorrow at 2 o'clock, then 2:30 till 3:30, 4 o'clock will be the news conference.
What kind of rate decision do they have? Didn't they already tell us they're not going to do anything?
But they still have to have those meetings. Still have to have those meetings where they're going to sing the same song as always. They got to get up there. Last week was in front of Congress, or the week before, Yellen was out there, and inflation is transitory, and you know we're going to keep things going, and we may think about possibly sometime in the future cutting back the bond purchases. Maybe, maybe not. See how things go. And of course, now, if everything was going just swimmingly right now with the economy, you know what they have? They have cover due to the new outbreak of COVID.
Yeah.
Because they always said that they will allow for the economy and the path of the pandemic to guide them. The path of the pandemic.
Yeah.
We saw a huge. Have you looked at your housing values recently?
Oh my God. I just got a thing. One of those mails, you know, the little mailing. I got it. Just picked it up today in the box outside. And it was one of these, we sold such and such and such and such street, you know, and it's one of those. You've seen those. And I'm looking at this. They sold a house, 2-bedroom, 1-bath in Albany.
Yeah.
2-bedroom, 1-bath, $1.3 million.
Wow.
And it's just a bungalow.
And how does that compare to, let's say, a year ago?
That same house a year ago, well, they put it up for $999, expecting it to get more, and it got $1.3, which is $400,000 over asking. Well, yeah, $1.39. A year ago, I'm guessing that same house would be probably more around $950.
Wow.
$850, which is still high for a 2-bedroom, 1-bath.
Is it sitting on some like gold or oil?
No, it's just sitting on a same old lot in a boring street.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. There was
it has new kitchen counters.
Oh, well, that's something. Yeah. New appliances or no?
100 grand.
Let's see what that is. I have something here on. Let's see, valuations, Miami condo market. No, what is the numbers? The numbers are something like 17% year. Oh, here it is, right here. The May S&P. This is the May S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index up 17% year over year versus the 15% consensus. The prior was revised to 15% from 14.9%, which is not much of a difference. But 17%, that's an all-time record on a year-over-year increase in housing since they started with these with this series.
It's out of control.
No inflation here.
And I was reading a report today from some housing expert, and there's no indication that this will let up. Now, whether it goes to infinity is obviously not going to happen, but it could go up again some more. And I'm starting to be reminded, especially in these metropolitan and quasi-metropolitan areas in which I live, that, you know, I'm close to San Francisco and Oakland. And I'm reminded of the Hong Kong housing market in the 90s. It was studio apartments were going for like $10 million. All the news organizations had to pull their teams out of Hong Kong because they couldn't afford the rents.
And it's not like they went down so dramatically.
No, they never did go down much.
This is a very interesting phenomenon. Obviously, low interest rates are something. Lack of houses are an issue. The thought that people can work from home, so why not? You know, there is something to be said about paying extra for a house now that you also have your office in. Because how much would you pay for an office? You know, if
you need a house. Well, by the way, that I can assure you that the two-bedroom, one-bath house that sold for $1.3 million did not have room for a nice office.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Well, unless it was just two bedrooms, one bath, that means maybe just a couple, and they'd use one of the bedrooms as the office. You could probably do that.
I can't imagine how housing prices can stay this high due to the fact that they're becoming extraordinarily unaffordable, especially for people who are... And if you want to sell a house, you know, I can get 1.3 for my little bungalow. Let me sell it. Where are you going?
You're going nowhere.
Going nowhere. It's probably just as expensive as something
else.
By
the way, and that phenomenon that you just described accounts for the prices continuing to go up because now nobody can sell to buy.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you're leaving the area and moving. Jackson, Mississippi's got some nice prices.
Right. If you want to live in Jackson, Mississippi.
$1.3 million in Jackson, Mississippi. Beautiful town. Most of Mississippi is really pretty, but 1.5 to 1.3 million in Jackson, Mississippi, you can get a nice place.
Oh, yeah. But again, it's all because and predicated upon the fact that we have interest rates. I know somebody just refinanced for 2.75%. And I remember, I believe in mortgages, by the way. If I can get cheap mortgage, I'm going to mortgage my house. I'm not paying it off. I'm going to take that money and I'm going to do something else with it in the investments. Okay.
Yeah, that's what you do.
That's not for everybody, but I refinanced my house at 2.25% 6 months ago. 2.25%.
Nice.
That's silly. That's ridiculous.
That's a fixed?
Yeah. 15-year fixed, 2.25. I said, can't not do this.
No,
so
not really.
All right, so what else we have? Asian markets this week, Hang Seng down 4.5%. Yesterday, Shanghai down 2.5%. EEM down 13% for the March high. I mentioned the lead in, lead out. And governments continuing to do that. Okay, the NASDAQ Golden Dragon China Index, which follows the 98 biggest U.S.-listed China stocks, has fallen by 15% in the last two trading sessions. That's pretty amazing.
Yes, that's another thing that people were noticing. The ADRs are all collapsing.
The index has now plummeted more than 45% since hitting a record last February.
Yeah.
45%.
Yeah. Well, if this happens to this market, the American market, as you are predicting, as a follow-up of the pattern, geez, 45%. Can you imagine the market going down 45%?
I will tell you that people really need to be, I'm talking to everybody out there for a second. You really not need to be on your toes here. Or let me say it differently. You gotta stop the complacency. That doesn't mean you need to get out. That doesn't mean you need to sell everything in 2 days. That doesn't mean you have to have a trigger finger and simply go and, you know, sell. But you need to be thinking about, okay, what's the exit plan? What's my portfolio exposed to? How can I hedge it? You follow what I'm saying, John? I mean, you can't just be at this point that the valuations we're seeing this late in the cycle with the potential for the Fed eventually taking some of the punch bowl away eventually and getting closer every day to that, no matter what happens.
Yeah, they're getting closer and closer. And just imagine what would happen if the market at 35,000 went down 45% which happens in a I can see that happening in a bear market where it just goes, it rolls over and just starts going down. This happened in 69, 70, where the market kind of went up to its nice little peak there. And then it didn't just crash though. It just started going down.
It bled out.
And it bled out. Yeah. It took 3 years, yeah. 4 years.
Yeah, that's a lot of pain. A lot of people that are investing now, some of the new people in the markets, have never seen an elongated and a protracted bear
Most
market.
People in the market today have mm-hmm. never seen anything like this, the 1970s era market.
And that's some misery.
They've seen, let alone the 30s market, which was worse, I suppose, but I never saw that. But I did see the 70s market. And I've seen the other kind of, you know, I saw the .com and I saw all these. Those are all, you know, a year later, 2 years later, you're good to go. 70s, which was not exacerbated by Democrats or anything like that. It just went on for 10 years, just kept going down.
I think that was on the cusp of, well, there's a mutual fund debacle back then. There's all sorts of things that happened back then.
Oh, the company Sterling Homex, I remember that. There's a bunch of crazy stuff that went on. And then you had the high interest rates that were up to 20% during the Carter administration. Yep. People don't even understand how that works. Yeah, it was a mess. And it could be another mess.
I mean, I'm not seeing 45%. I mean, but even a 20% correction.
Yeah, but think about it.
Yeah, I know.
Think of the short opportunities.
Well, the reason is because if you have a 45% market correction, the stocks underlying it that are much more variability due to market risk. In other words, the betas are higher, are down 60%. You had some that are only down, you know, 20%, but a chunk under. And that's, yeah, there's an opportunity. Right now, I've been telling people, you know, we've been off of the short side of things on the U.S. markets. And we've been kind of saying, I've been saying, you know what, don't do it. Because the worst of the worst companies are staying up. Hedging markets right now with an all-time high last Friday. Hedging markets to try to hedge your portfolio out just isn't working at the moment. It's much better to have a cash buffer, for example. So There'll be a day. It always comes around.
Yeah, eventually.
The July consumer confidence was reading at 129 versus an estimate of 124. Prior was revised.
It was jacked up.
Yep, everybody got their money again, it seems. The June durable goods ex transports were a 0.3 versus a 0.9. Prior was revised up. So you got to look at those two things. You got to look at the revision and this, and there's not much of a difference. So durable goods doing well. Back to China for a couple of things. We have a couple points here. Tencent's WeChat has temporarily suspended registration. This is fascinating. You got to listen to this. They've suspended registration of new users in mainland China as it listen to this. I can't even. It's so ridiculous. And it undergoes a technical upgrade to align with relevant laws and regulations. So you can't get new registration. Old people, I guess, could stay on there. They said that we're currently upgrading our security technology to align with all relevant laws and regulations. And during this time, registration of the new WeChat personal and official accounts have been temporarily suspended. Registration services will be restored after the upgrade is complete, which is expected in early August. We're talking about, what, a two-week time for them to upgrade the security? When does that happen with a
impossible.
So this is just a bogus excuse because the government just said, take it down for a while.
Yeah, that's what you have to assume.
And why is it that the people that are on it right now can use it and new people can't?
Yeah, there you go.
Yep, exactly. More on China. Battered by a regulatory crackdown, China's multi-billion dollar private tutoring sector could see to seek to separate its business segments and bulk up a non-academic tutoring as it tries to soften the blow on its operations. Shares in Hong Kong and U.S.-listed educational firms such as New Oriental Education and Tal Group and Gaotu Techfu fell sharply for the second straight session after the China barred for-profit tutoring in core school subjects. Why are they doing that? I don't...
You know, it's a mystery. There has to be, again, some corruption or something going on or... I mean, we're not here's what you have to assume. At least I would have to assume. We don't even have half the story. Whoever's giving us all this information, they don't have the story. They didn't do good research. There's no reporting coming out of China. who knows? It's something else that we were completely unaware of.
I'm speculating that some of this is due to the fact that there was some concern over that universal test that all the Chinese students have to take, and maybe there was some cheating going on there. Possibly also it was giving a leg up to certain people with money, and those that didn't, you know, were really suffering in schools. But it's a little funny here what's going on. Those companies always had, it was questionable. The same thing here in the U.S., right? Remember the for-profit educational companies that were targeting military people and saying they're going to give them all these loans? Remember that whole thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they screwed them. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe there's something like that going on there. I don't know. Last point on China. China reported second quarter GDP growth that came in slightly below expectations, while retail sales and industrial production grew faster than forecast. GDP was 7.9% in the second quarter from a year ago. That fell short of the 8.1 growth for April to June period that was expected by all the estimators out there. And we need to talk about COVID. We talked about this. Oh. So we know about the CDC is talking about masks, recommending them for hot areas. It's not a mandate yet. But in bigger news, this is something you're going to have to explain to me. The first part of this, we're going to have to take out. And explain it. An unvaccinated snow leopard at the San Diego Zoo has contracted COVID-19. Caretakers noticed that Rami, or is it Ramil, confirmed the president of the coronavirus, Ramil, a 9-year-old male snow leopard, has a cough and runny nose on Thursday. Later, two separate tests of the stool confirmed the presence of the coronavirus. California is now saying that that section of the zoo has to be shut down. So first, an unvaccinated
snow up to cheetah, snow leopard, put a mask on him.
I suppose. And you can open it back up, I guess. But let's start with this, an unvaccinated snow leopard. What does that mean? Does that mean that there are vaccinated snow leopards?
I wouldn't think so, but the way they present these stories, it just shows you the lousy journalism as it exists today.
So clearly this is a scare tactic.
It should have been answered in the article. The question you just asked.
I'll give you the answer what it is, okay? The answer is this, that, hey, anybody, anyone, animals of all kind can get COVID-19. So you better get your vaccine. That's what this is saying to me.
Well, that's what they're trying to say.
Right. And then they noticed he had a cough and a runny nose. Not sure how you check. I mean, was he blowing his nose? How do you know it's a runny nose? Okay, but okay.
Coughing.
Coughing, I'll give you on that one.
Kept asking for tissues.
Right. Anybody get a Vicks? So, yeah. All right, big earnings. Let's talk about that. A couple of things going on here. After hours summary, Microsoft up 1.5%, AMD up 1.1%, Google 0.9% higher, Teladoc down 8.5%, Juniper down 6.9%, Cake, which is the cheesecake company, California Cheesecake, or you know whatever that is, down 4.6%, Starbucks down 3%, Apple down 1.6%, Visa down 0.7%. Now, Apple beat earnings by 29 cents. Revenues rose 36% year over year to $81.4 billion versus the estimate of $73.5 billion. Woof. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Q3 iPhone revenue of $39.6 billion, beat by about $3 billion, and was $39 billion this quarter. A year ago it was $26 billion. $10 billion more than last quarter. $10 billion. iPad 7.4 versus 6.4, up from 6.4 last year. Wearables and home products, $8.8 billion versus $7.8 billion estimates, and $6.5 last year, so $3 billion better there. Billion.
The watch.
Yeah, the watch, the headphones, things like that. Q3 Max, $8.2 billion. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. It's
ludicrous.
It's a blockbuster. Blockbuster. Margins. This is the one that's really fascinating. Margins are up at 43.3%. 43% margin. Think about that.
Ridiculous.
Versus 42%, which was the estimate, and 38% a year ago. Aren't parts costing more now and somehow They're squeezing an extra 5% margin benefit from a year ago. That's unbelievable. That's solid.
So it sounds like the numbers are cooked.
Yeah. Tim cooked.
Tim cooked. The numbers are Tim cooked.
Well, they generated $21 billion of operating cash flow, returning $29 billion to shareholders during the quarter. And then the only negative on all of this was that Tim Cook said that chip shortages are impacting Mac and iPad, and of course projecting a little bit softer numbers into the future. So putting a little bit of a wet blanket on the future.
Where are they having their chips? I thought they had all their chips made in the United States. I thought when they went to the one of the, you know, that, are they having their chips manufactured overseas?
I
guess they are for, yeah.
They were doing their own chips too, but also.
That's what I was thinking. But now I think about it, they're probably having those.
The Mac and the iPad. They were doing the phones.
TSMC or one of these operations.
And it could be any chip. It could be one little chip that's for the antenna.
Yeah, it doesn't take much.
Right. Yeah. Could be, there's a lot of chips in there. Microsoft, $2.17 versus $1.92 estimate. Revenues, $46.15 billion versus $44 billion. Azure revenue grew 51%. You were just talking about this in June versus 50% in the March quarter and 50% in the December quarter. 50% year over year growth in the Azure unit.
That's, yeah, that doesn't last much more than a few more years.
Yeah. Xbox revenue was down 4%. Windows revenue down 3%. Generally good numbers. Stock was getting chopped up a little bit. 3% down after hours and popped back up after something was going on. In the earnings. Tesla, in the earnings call. Tesla posted a bigger second quarter than profit than expected on higher sales of its less expensive electric vehicles. And it raised prices to boost its margins on them. It also cut costs, which helped it offset many of the supply chain and microchip shortfalls. But there's another chip shortage warning there as well. And no mention that I saw of any gains or losses from Bitcoin. As of last week, they were in the hole on their Bitcoin.
Yeah, well,
purchases.
It's up again.
Yeah.
But I'd like to look into this chip thing a little bit. Maybe I will call a few friends of mine who are in the business of selling chips and find out what the hell's going on here.
I mean, is it that there's so many devices that are being manufactured across all sorts of lines, right? Whether it's automobile, boating, whether it's handsets or any other kind of home gadget. IoT, that they just can't keep up? Or is it something else going on?
That's what I think. It's something else, because they can keep up.
Yeah, something's weird. Jeff Bezos coming in for the bid, right off of his trip to space with that hat on, which we discovered is very strange. He said Monday he's offered to cover up to $2 billion in NASA costs of the U.S. Space Agency awards. If they award him his company, Blue Origin, a contract to make spacecraft designed to land astronauts back on the moon. That's something that we need to do, is go back on the moon for some reason.
Yeah, what's the reason?
I don't know. I don't understand. I'm kind of confused why we need to go to the moon again. Are we going to colonize the moon?
No, they put this... there's a lot of jokes you can use here. One of them is to get there before China gets there and discovers there's no flag.
Okay. You think the flag lasted? I guess it lasted, right?
No, I mean, we never went in the first place.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I have no idea. I think it's just a waste of time and money.
Well, right now,
He should look around Seattle, where it's headquartered, and take a look at the homeless problem there. Why don't you do something about that? Must spend money.
$2 billion could go a long way there. Maybe just make that whole area look like the moon for him. Maybe somehow.
Have you been there recently? It already does.
It does. The dark side of the moon. SpaceX currently has the contract, and they declined on the Blue Origin bid in the past. So he wrote a letter to Bill Nelson, the administrator for NASA, and he says that Blue Origin would waive payments in the government's current fiscal year and the next ones. After that, up to $2 billion and pay for an orbital mission to vet its technology in exchange. Blue Origin would accept a firm fixed price contract and cover any system development cost overruns.
So how's that different from a bribe?
That's exactly what that is. you hit that nail right on the head. It's a definite bribe. There's no question about that.
And it would be an illegal bribe.
I would say so.
Well, something should be done.
Mm-hmm. Bitcoin's on the move. It slumped below 30,000 last week. Made a big move higher on a rumor that Amazon would start accepting the coin. And then, of course, Amazon is out with, no, no, no. Why do we need to do that? We got so much cash coming in. What's the point?
That's what I would say. What's the point?
What's the point? Why would they even want to do something like that? So it seems to me this back to this pump story, right? That anything is being held onto is, you know, just, oh, look at that. Yeah, it's dropping down all these sales. But Amazon's now, you know, to the rescue, a story about Amazon starting to receive it. The other thing that's happening is there's a U.S. probe into Tether, which is the Tether's used. You know what Tether is, right? How that works?
No.
It's the stable coin that is used by many, many firms, many coin brokerages.
I don't know anything about it.
Basically, it's a $1 to $1. You can exchange it. It's a stable coin. But it's being looked at as to whether executives behind the digital token committed bank fraud, a potential criminal case that would have broad implications for the cryptocurrency market. Because usually what happens is you put your money in some of these places and you can buy Bitcoin in Tether, not just USD. Coinbase, you can buy it in USD. So you buy it and you buy Tether and then you, which is a dollar for dollar. And then what you do is you buy your Bitcoin or Ethereum.
Beginning of the end.
Whatever.
The end of society.
But it is the end of society because we have something now called the metaverse. The metaverse. Are you familiar with this?
Yeah.
Facebook is creating a product team to work on the metaverse.
Yeah, this is, I read all about this and it, you know, it's based on Stevenson's Snow Crash or whatever that novel was. But I read about this metaverse and what they're up to. And there's never a reference to Second Life, which is really what has already been done. And it's been done and done.
Yeah. Why is that?
You won't find one mention of Second Life in any of these analyses. And why is that? It has the avatars and there's a life. You could have a whole separate life, their second life, as it were. And I know people that were really all caught up in it. You know, this is like, what, 10, 15 years ago
when
it was
really
booming?
Yeah.
And now they're doing it all over again, and they're not even pointing the finger or even giving a nod to the fact that this has already been done.
Yeah, it's a little strange where maybe they're going to bring it up to current age or something like that. But the team is part of a company's virtual reality organization. And you can think about the metaverse as an embodied internet where instead of just viewing content, you're in it. I guess they're going to probably
mention the movie. What was that movie that Disney did?
Avatar?
The guy got what?
Avatar?
No, way before that. There was this movie the guy was shrunk in a machine, and then you end up in a game.
Tron,
yeah, the Tron game.
Or for that matter, what's the other one where they went into the person's body? Way back.
Yeah, the voyage into that one. Yeah,
Fantastic Voyage.
Fantastic Voyage.
Yeah,
yeah. All these things are old. we're rehashing old stories.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Well, it's a little more comedic.
Yep. In terms of valuations, NASDAQ said on Tuesday it had partnered with a major U.S. banks, including Goldman Sachs, of course, Citigroup, and Morgan Stanley, to spin out its platform that allows investors to trade in stocks of private companies. It's not enough that we could trade whatever we want and we could trade these quasi-Bitcoin-y thingy-jiggies and all these other coins. It's not enough that we could trade on small cap, mid cap, large cap, pink sheets and all that. Now we have to go after private companies where we have no idea what their valuation is.
And they're not going to tell us.
Right.
And
they're not going to tell you. This weekend.
No, of course not. That's the big advantage of being private. You can pretend you're bigger or smaller, or you can play dumb, or you can play poor. You can do all kinds of things. That's what all the publishing companies very rarely went public.
So
Hearst Corporation to this day.
So what's interesting is presented with a deck, looking at a deck, presentation of an offer.
Yeah, deck. Yeah.
And the company, which had no profits in the insurance business, it was looking to raise money in a round, and it was available to basically anybody that had money, right? They were looking at it as a $3 billion valuation, giving you all the reasons why it was, but they were offering this round to me and to anybody else that wanted it at a $2 billion valuation. I'm thinking, why are they doing that?
Pre-money thing.
Yeah, why are they doing that? So.
Because that way your $2 is worth $3 overnight.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And I looked at all the numbers. I'm like, wait, let me just look at some of the numbers, the free cash flow. Let me look at the revenues. Let me look at this. And everything was all specced out that miraculously they never made money in the last 8 years doing this, right? They lost money every single year. But somehow next year they're going to be profitable. So there's kind of a weird thing going on.
Seems highly unlikely.
Yeah, I agree. The Miami condo market is having some difficulty. It's changing very dramatically as buyers are now looking for updated structural inspection certificates. Market is focusing on engineering inspection reports from older towers, which are required by the state to get recertified every 40 years.
You know, my wife brought something up to me that was not, again, and one of these things is completely overlooked by the media, the news analysts, the pundits. John D. McDonald wrote a novel called Condominium in 1977 that described the bad cement in these buildings and the thing collapsed.
Yeah. There you go. But we don't do anything about it until it's too late.
Well, 1977 was a while ago. The fact that he had that kind of foresight.
No, 77, we're 40 years. Is that where we are? No. So right now. Insurers are also under scrutiny as they hold the keys to new purchases in the market. That's another problem. Insurers, you know, you go to buy a condo and you go to the banks like, no, well, I'm not sure. Well, you know, I'm not giving you a loan for it. And even if they do, you may get a blowback by the insurance company saying, I don't know. I'm not quite sure we're going to insure this property for you if I don't see a updated structural inspection. Nah.
Yeah.
I got a meeting. I put some people together. I got a meeting on Thursday. I have a lunch meeting on Thursday. I put a couple of people together to actually start a company that's going to be doing this. Structural inspections.
Would they be doing the inspections?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I put them together and push them off another way. They can thank me later. Coffee prices. The worst frost to strike Brazil's coffee growing region in more than 25 years is set to cut a chunk out of next year's crop, sending prices to 6 years highs. Coffee futures have climbed 30% in July and almost double over the past year. Yeah, there you go.
Interesting.
And to round this out here, we have a jet fuel shortage. American Airlines is reportedly warning of jet fuel shortages nationwide and asking their pilots to conserve fuel where possible. Now, let me take a quick story. I was flying up to Montauk. I took off from West Palm Beach, flying into Islip on a 737-800, I believe it was. And all of a sudden, this pilot says, folks, we have a little bit of weather ahead of us, and we're getting some new directions and information from our people, and we will let you know in a moment what's happening. So I look immediately to the little tracker of the plane. I see we're going in circles. All right, folks, we are looking to divert because there's a line that we can't get around. It can't get above. It can't get below it. We got to make a big turn. We may be diverting to Baltimore. Baltimore.
Baltimore.
But
Baltimore.
Baltimore's in the line also, so that's not going to work. Folks, we're going to be looking to possibly go to Chicago, but it looks to me like we don't have enough fuel.
You're going to Long Island, New York?
Yeah.
And they're going to drop you off in Chicago?
Well, I'd probably start, you know, drop you off and refuel and then take off again. But he said we don't have enough fuel. That's what he said.
Yeah,
I was like, uh-oh, better get going here. So we ended up making a hard right and coming in from way east. So that worked
out. Did they go land someplace?
We landed in Iceland. They just figured somehow the storm was moving a little bit west. We were able to go way out to the right and around the top and around the bottom and come back on it. But what's happening is in an internal memo from American Airlines, they advised that the jet fuel shortages that have been impacting Western states are now being reported at American Airlines stations across the country, and that delivery delays are expected to continue through mid-August. So now this supposedly is it now back to the employment situation or something?
No, this is not possible. For one, okay.
How is it even possible if we're not flying as much as we were flying? That's what I don't get.
It makes no sense. And let me also explain a couple of things. One, during this unemployment, this even the COVID thing, I could be wrong, but I don't believe I'm wrong. These refineries continue to run full tilt with a contingent of people working there. I don't know if they're masked up or what, but they didn't shut any refineries down that I know of. And the refineries around here where I live, one of them that I used to work at as a chemist, we produced tons of jet fuel.
I don't understand. This is like, I've never heard this before. Maybe I didn't see it, but all of a sudden it's upon us. Which
is ridiculous. It sounds like bull crap.
Yeah, it leads me to believe they're prepping you for a fuel surcharge is what they're doing.
Oh, yeah, that sounds right.
You know, they say they're primarily to constrain jet fuel transportation logistics, including a shortage of truck drivers, shortage of fuel trucks, well, in some cases, pipeline allocations. Maybe they're blaming it on the pipeline situation.
Well, I can see them blaming it on the truck drivers, maybe. There's not enough truck drivers. That's possible, but the refineries are making this stuff is filling up tanks.
The whole thing that's going on right now is everything's from bizarro land. Maybe we should have go to just live in Second Life and forget this other crap. Just ditch it all, you know, get a new avatar and just have a nice life. Hey, listen, by the way, speaking of have a great life, we ask you and request and prod you and prompt you to help out with the show. You could donate at any given time. Now is a good one. Just go over to the dhunplugged.com, click on the donate button, and give and help us defray some of the cost of the show so we keep on doing this week in and week out, month in, month out, year in and year out since, 2008? Still running strong. Still one of the top podcasts out there. You can also go over to DH Unplugged, and you can check on Close to the Pin. Right now, AMD is running. I think it closes this Friday. Now, I know you like cats, right?
Cats.
But cats.
The movie, the play, the Broadway
memories.
Play.
Memories. No, not that one. Cats, as in the feline, as in the.
I'm not a cat nut. We have a couple cats.
Why do you always put them in your no agenda newsletter? I don't understand then.
Well, I haven't done that for probably 6 months. Since 2019? I don't think I've used a cat or kittens. Or kittens are cute kittens. You put them in there to make people feel good, and then they liberally give you more donations.
Oh, okay.
But I usually use puppies more than I use kittens.
Ah, well, cat owners who love to take pictures of their furry friends now have an excuse to pull out their smartphones and take a snapshot. It may actually help the cat. A Calgary, Alberta animal health technology company, which is weird to even say, has developed an app called Tabby that uses the phone's camera to tell whether a feline is feeling pain. The app looks at ears and head position, eye narrowing, muzzle tension, and how whiskers change to detect distress.
Oh, God.
A 2019 study published in peer review journal Scientific Reports found that the so-called feline grimace scale, or FGS, it actually has an acronym, is a valid and reliable tool for acute pain assessment in cats.
Okay, so you assess the fact that the cat's in pain, then what?
I guess you take it to a vet, which is the whole point of this. Probably underlying all of this is a very nice grant from the Veterinarian Association.
Sounds right.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, wrapping this section up, we have Mario the Groper, celebrity chef Mario Batali. You know that guy, right?
Yeah, he's been, he was canceled, I think it was about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He used to have this show, him and other people. And once he left, of course, the show folded because Mario is actually one of the great talented chefs of the United States, one of the highest rated ones. But apparently slaps waitresses on the butt or something. Yeah, I don't know.
A little handsy. But he paid $600,000 to at least 20 former total to at least 20 former employees after an investigation found that the Manhattan restaurants were rife with sexual harassment. New York Attorney General announced on Friday. So Batali is now officially found, I guess, guilty and paying 600 large to about 20 people.
Well,
that's what what happens.
I guess the tips weren't good enough.
That's what happens. That's what happens.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
And what do we got?
Look at a couple things here. You know, same stuff, you know, Train is up 124%, FSC Bank Corp, 84%.
That thing is unbelievable. It's up 124 now. And then the FVC is also up 84. It looks like I'm going to get to the 100% mark.
You may. You very well may. All you need is a little buyout nudge right now.
Won't take much. It could bump up to, all it needs to do is to get to $20.52, and it's 100%.
Xerox up 32% since August of last year, about a year, not been knocked out. Slow, nice mover. I don't know what they even do anymore. Sure. Summit Financial 43%, gold down 5%, Honeywell up 30%. UPS had a bad day today, probably going to get kicked out overnight. It was down 7%. No, it didn't. Let's see, UPS was down 7%, still not kicked out, up 13%. Kellogg up 7%, Pfizer up 7.6%, Netflix short down 2%, Planet Fitness short up 2%, Tattooed Chef came out, lost 12%. AP Moller Maersk, the shippers that were short, up 3%. GameStop, go again, 8, up 19%. And the last couple things we did last week, actually, you're long on Shopify. It's going to go down a little bit. They did a big offering overnight tonight. Workhorse down 9.5%. That's the one thing that has to go right there. Hopefully, we'll hold on until we can get that done. Imara, Dual Insiders, down 4%. I'm putting on a major speculative play.
Oh, good.
Major speculative play, and that is New Oriental Education and Tech, the Chinese company that is
Speculative. You're
very
right.
Speculative. That's
anything can happen. Yep. They could take the CEO the next day after you'd make this investment and shoot him. That's how things are in China.
Exactly.
Well, I got one.
Mm-hmm.
And I did this because it looks like three insiders ganged up and put in $14 million each into, I don't know how you pronounce that, Acutus Medical, AFIB. Stock's been on a decline recently, but it might be bottoming out. Somebody likes it. Three people like it, and they're all part of it. So it's a classic insider's play.
All right, there we go. 728.
Triple insiders you can use.
Triple insiders. Triple insiders.
Like they don't make money.
Even better. Even better.
EPS quarter to quarter minus 41.
Nice. Down 3% today. Acutus Medical. You never know. Something can pop up. They may all of a sudden have a cure for something.
May also be a buyout candidate. We don't know.
Ah, interesting.
But I see this sort of, it's all downgraded. They had to make things even worse. These guys bought into a bunch of downgrades.
Oh.
I'm looking at the downgrades. They just initiated. In fact, let me see who it is. Hold on. It was downgraded by Blair, J.P. Morgan, and Bank of America Securities.
Hmm.
Downgraded from outperform to minimum performance, generally speaking, and buy to neutral. So the downgrades aren't like terrible, but they're funny.
Yeah, there's no real downgrades to absolute sell, walk away, get out of there.
They don't have the guts to do that.
No, they don't.
How about downgrade to short?
Right.
Have you ever seen that?
No, never. Never. This is a definite short. Absolutely not. All right. Well, we're going to be wrapping this up, and we will step back into this position 1 week from today.
All right. See you then.
All right. See ya. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.